Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Ah, the bit of Bing. Check the calendar, 8th of December, Culchi Christmas. It used to kick off Christmas in the days before Black Friday and Cyber Monday. It was the key shopping day, but that's a tradition that has sadly departed. And to talk us through that tradition and other pre-Christmas traditions, we're joined by folklorist Michael Fortune, author of The Folklore of Wexford. Michael, good evening to you.
Good evening, Cullum.
The 8th of December, not just a shopping day, of course, it was a feast day in the line of, in Advent, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, important date for Catholics. And it being a holy day of obligation, people troop not only to Mass, but also to the temples of Mammon in town. The shoppers, out with the shopping bags, onto the bus, and out for a day in town.
Yeah, it was a huge tradition, and were extra carriages put on trains. People travelled from all over the country up to Dublin, really. And you're talking, I suppose, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and it began to kind of fade then in the 80s when people went to their own regional kind of shopping centres and towns. And I was even in Wexford town today, and I noticed there was a bit more of a stir around. You know, some of the schools were off as well. I noticed that as well. So it's still there.
Yeah, that is one, because my kids are off school today as well. So has it kind of crept back in, like it's for a staff day? But is it a coincidence that it's the 8th of December?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I'd say a little bit of both, Katie. You know, it's handy for the teachers to get a bit of shopping done, I suppose, before Christmas. But I don't know why my little ones went down to Wexford town to shop today anyway. But yeah, it was a big day. And I suppose now some people would say, in our house anyway, the toy show would be the kind of would have taken over from it a little bit. You know when the toy show is on, you know then that you're getting in the mood for Christmas.
Yeah, resistance is futile after that.
And I suppose, look, it wasn't always just about filling the shopping bags and buying presents for people. There was a tradition of charitable donations and helping people less fortunate as well at this time of the year.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of survived it and still survives it. I'll be honest with you, I'd still see it. You know, people will still even, you know, their bin men or their mechanic or different people, you'd like to give something. And I remember even growing up, whatever, my father was a strict pioneer, but he went to the pub and used to go up to the pub to play cards and to play darts. And I often remember we were often fed on a ham or a turkey or a chicken that was one in the pub playing cards or darts. And even pubs had the whole tradition around that as well, you know, coming up maybe in the weeks and before, they might have tournaments and things like that. But people did like to look out for each other, and especially older neighbours, and especially in the countryside anyway, I noticed that people would always kind of keep an eye out for those who might need something, you know.
Right. What is this concept, this idea of the gift of a load?
Like a load, there's one lovely tradition that survived here, Katie, and this part of Wexford, northwest Wexford. But I'd say if you went kind of scratching around the rest of the country, you'll see it. In northwest Wexford, there's a tradition of giving bags of sticks at Christmas time. So neighbours would literally be given a bag of blocks, a bag of firing, as we call it. And even my father-in-law here will always drop one up to us come close to Christmas Eve. And some of the older people will talk about giving neighbours bags of spuds. That was another thing that was done. But I'd say if it was done in Wexford, it was done in other counties as well. And even the obligatory, you know yourself, the old when you see the box of roses coming or celebrations coming or the tin of biscuits, you know, I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but people do like to give them out, share them out.
Right. People would wonder whether you see the contents of them anymore, but we'll do shrinkflation as an item another day on the programme. We're going to be talking tomorrow to Anna McHugh from Unpost about the do's and don'ts of Christmas posting, but anything went really in the post in the past, didn't it? Turkey's the lot.
Oh, I couldn't believe this column when I heard it first. I was up in Mayo and I had to check myself. I pinched myself. I said, lads, you're telling me the truth here, I guess. And it was a huge drunkle then. I went looking and sure, it was done all over the country, but mostly Western counties. For those, again, for your listeners, I think I'm making this up, right through, I'd say, the 60s and into the early 70s, probably the late 50s as well, people would send a dead turkey over to the relations in Coventry or Birmingham or London or Scotland or Glasgow, wherever they were. And you'd go to your local post office and you'd bring your dead bird wrapped up as best you could and you'd put the address on it and you'd send it over so that your son or daughter would have a bit of taste of Ireland for them on that Christmas.
You might get a taste of something else if the turkey was too long in the sorting office.
Yeah, well, I heard, it's funny how you say that, because I heard some people said that there was a postal strike in England back in the early 70s, and that kind of put an end to that. And mind you, in saying that, I did hear people telling me that there was, one family told me that they remembered back until the mid-80s, a turkey being sent over from Ireland. Well, someone up in Mayo also told me as well, now and again, you'd use it as an opportunity to get to stick a bottle of poutine up the innards of the turkey and send it over to England, and hopefully that it won't break on the way over. And that would be an extra little treat.
So they would secrete the illicit...
The surprise depository arriving in time for Christmas.
Alcohol in the cavity of the bird.
Absolutely, I couldn't believe it. I pinched myself again, and you know what I really, I said I had to see this for real, and someone found one of the labels, a non-post label, with the turkey, with nobody would have to describe what you're sending over, and honestly, you know, and however, I don't know how long it took back then to get a turkey to England, but I'm sure people were eating it, and people were looking forward to it when they got it.
The old budge ale didn't make it onto the declaration form, I'd say.
No, I don't think so.
Germany have an association with Whitethorn at Christmas, but you'd never bring Whitethorn into a house, he or she wouldn't.
No, not a chance of it. From Kerry to Kildare to Wexford, yeah, to Donegal, yeah, it would be up to Antrim. You'd be grand if you brought Whitethorn in. It was seen as a fairy tree, bad luck. Oh, geez, you know, it was just one of those things in Irish folklore that you would not have near the house. But for some reason, the Germans have it. The German, a lot of our traditions would be, well, we have our own traditions, but some of the newer ones, like the Christmas tree, would be borrowed. But the Germans had the tradition of bringing in a Whitethorn and watching it blossom. They'd artificially bring it in. And they would keep it warm, and they would bring the blossom out then for Christmas. They did it with other things as well, other little trees as well.
Yeah, we're getting a few messages in from people's Christmas tradition. One thing, I miss Santi at Switchers. I miss people calling Santi Santi, is what I miss. Yep. With the Santa Claus carry
on. Mammy insists on Santi, does she?
She does. And another one, I remember working in a record store in the 80s on the 8th we would be inundated with country customers, this is an inverted commas, asking for empty tapes, in other words blank cassette tapes. We were much amused, says Mags, of us and our country ways.
I'd say Mags wouldn't have been too amused if she kind of thought too hard about what the empty tapes were for.
Indeed.
Because the fella behind her in the queue was probably, for that one album, there was probably about 8 copies being knocked off of everybody in the village. But what about our own traditions of bringing bits of the branches into the house, Michael? Where do we kind of stand on what's acceptable foliage to have around the house?
What's acceptable? Well, come here, to me, Christmas wouldn't be the same without buried holly in, and I'm sure a lot of the older listeners here would be the same, you know. Like that's what we would have grown up with, holly and ivy, and now later on the Christmas tree came on the scene as well. But you know, I will go out, come close to Christmas Eve, and I'll always go out into the fields and get a bit of holly. The father did it, and it's one of the things actually I really like, and I'm sure again listeners from up and down the country, there's always something lovely about seeing a fella with a Volkswagen caddy or some kind of truck or a car or something like that with loads of holly wreaths selling them on the main street somewhere of every town in the country. There's something lovely about that still. I see it here in Gorey still, and I see it in Wexford town a little bit as well. But it's a nice thing to do. But holly and ivy were the main things in our kind of Christmas tradition. Mistletoe wasn't really on the scene at all, to be honest with you. It doesn't grow very often. I don't see it growing anywhere really, to be honest with you. Scarce.
Yeah, it's a thing you never see, and I often wonder about it. It's like something that only happens in American movies.
Do you want to see that one? Do you see that text coming in from our neck of the woods?
And that's nobody related to me, but we have a texter who says, my uncle posted a turkey from Kerry to Cork during the postal strike in 1979. It arrived rancid in January. I bet it did.
Go on, yeah.
You'd be quicker walking, wouldn't you?
You nearly would. I hope at least maybe there was a bottle of something inside for them when it arrived. Michael, the Christmas tree, is it regarded as relatively new here, but it's here to stay?
Oh, absolutely. Come here, I put mine up last night with the children. I was even a day early, and it's lovely. I love having the tree inside in the house. I like this time of year. But my own mother's time and my grandmother's time, they never had a Christmas tree, and so many country people didn't. The first kind of Christmas trees that came over towards came into England would have been by a German called Charlotte. She was married to one of the English kings, George III. And then Queen Victoria, the English Queen Victoria, she popularised it back in the mid-1800s. And then it just kind of grew. But it was kind of mostly associated, when you look back at like old archive photographs and sketches and accounts, you'll find them in a lot of the kind of Anglo-Irish houses or the kind of more well-off. And then it went into the cities and into the towns then. But for country people, it wasn't really the case. And that's surprising, but it's not.
They probably didn't have the room for it.
Exactly that. Well, if you brought it in, you'd chop it up and use it for firewood, like the bag of sticks that I was talking about. But it wasn't there, you know, it just wasn't part of that tradition. But it is now. It is now part of the tradition.
All right, Michael, we'll be talking to you later in the month, maybe about some of the traditions closer to Christmas. But for now, Michael Fortune, the author of Folklore of Wexford, thanks for joining us.
Coming up after five, as the HSE predicts, we'll see a flu peak sometime around Christmas week. Should the flu vaccine be free for everyone? Plus, gridlock on the motorway. How do we fix a problem like the M50?